There's a little twist tonight. Here we go.
Well, old Buddha was a man, and I'm sure that he meant well. But I pray for his disciples, lest they wind up in hell. And I'm sure that old Mohammed thought he knew the way. But it won't be Hare Krishna we stand before on the judgment day. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun up river moon. Well, I don't hate anybody, so please don't take me wrong. But there really is a message in this simple song. You see, there's only one way, Jesus, if eternal life is your goal. In meditation of the mind, it won't save your soul. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun not ever. Well, you can call yourself a Baptist and not be born again, a Presbyterian or a Methodist and still die in your sin. Can't even be charismatic, shout and dance and jump a few. But if you hate your brother, you won't be one of the chosen few. Cause it won't be a Baptist that's sitting on the throne, a Presbyterian or a Methodist that's calling us home. And it won't be a charismatic that plays that trumpet tune. Let's all just live for Jesus, because he's coming back real soon. Oh, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible Study. 1 hour we got this afternoon from 8 to 9. Talk tonight about being born again and some end times events. And we will, you know what? You're wondering what? I travel along the road of Facebook and YouTube, and I practice. I go to different places, and I find out what they're saying, and sometimes I'll poke in there. To see what people are talking about and thinking, what to come back with. Everybody's trying to turn the focus toward the Jews as the bad guys. What about the Irish? I'm Scotch-Irish. I don't have a problem blaming them for controlling the money. The Knights Templar are controlled by Irish. They control the money for the Knights Templar. And they ain't Jew. Do you know what I mean? You see, they're going back to 1885 to point the the fault in the wrong direction. The anti-Semitism was designed by the Jesuits. And they're using Jews that are not really Jews. They call the synagogue of Satan to blame the real Hebrew Jews. Oh, it's a trick. It goes back to Herod. It goes back to the Colosseums. Nothing new under the sun, just the technology has changed. That's it. But we're more advanced than they are. No, we're not. We might have advanced weaponry and a more complex society, but not really. You've not find that the Bible fits perfectly in our sociological process today? Exactly. How'd they know that? How come it hadn't changed somewhat? Nothing's changed. Just the technology, that's all. We know more about the Bible today because we have scholars from... No, you don't. Literally. Every college and university in America. All of them now. And certainly every public school. Is a school of humanism. Humanism is the religion of the Antichrist. Satan. That's a fact. Whether people like to hear it or not. It's an absolute fact. From humanism, you get Marxism, Leninism, gosh, isms everywhere. Nazism, fascist, there's an ist that's not an ism. Oh, man. You name it, no matter what it is. Now, I played that song because every single religion is a fraud. Jesus Christ is not about religion. He's not about some preacher, rabbi, or pope, or whatever. Or Manu, or guru, or hoodoo. Whatever, it don't matter. What's the problem with talking to Jesus? Everybody fights for their religion. They fight for their country, which is controlled by the Vatican anyway. They fight for the four walls they've been going to. My great-grandmother went there. My great-great-great-grandmother went there. So what? What happens when they tear it down and put something new up there? Or maybe they turn it into a barn. Now what are you going to do? Oh, didn't think about that. Now did you? What happens when that church is no longer there because they put a parking lot there? Now what? What are you going to hold on to now? Well, I got my cross on my chest. Uh-huh. What if you lose that cross? Excuse me. Oh, gosh. What if you lose that cross because it falls off your chest or you put it in a place and it gets lost somewhere? Now what? What are you going to do? It's all physical. You can't lose the Holy Spirit unless you turn away from it. Holy Spirit is spiritual. It's not physical. Then what do you do? The physical will go away. That's guaranteed. My great-great-great-grandfather owned this heirloom or whatever it is. Something, some object, idol, whatever. You carry it down, and all of a sudden you get old, and somewhere along the line, you get old and you're going to die. Who's going to end up with this trinket called an heirloom in the family? Because there's no more family. Maybe you got third, fourth, fifth, sixth, I don't know, tenth cousin, whatever. They have no clue what it is. They just send it to it looks like a neat little object. What is it? I don't know. He left it to you. Oh. So they take it to a pawn shop. Or they take it to a yard sale and just sell it. They get sold on the market, yard sale, for $2 a piece or $5. And the person receives it has no clue what it means. It just looks good on the mantle. That's what happens. When you go to an antique shop, oh, look, honey. And it says, what? What, baby? That was Elvis. What, baby? Look at this little doodad. Oh, that's neat. Never seen one of those in 50 years. Yeah, let's buy it. Okay. Everything in there has something to someone else that's already dead. They died. It means nothing to anybody right now except just another something that looks old. Sorry to bust it to you, but that's kind of what it really is. It only means something to the person that knows about it. And when that person's gone, sells it, loses it, dies, whatever, it means nothing to anybody else. But the Holy Spirit means eternal life to you. You see, we hold on to the physical things of life. Those physical things, they go away. I've heard of military. I was in military 12 years, Marine Corps, whatever, but of people that have these crosses on their chest, or they have some religious symbol that they use as good luck charms. They lose it. They feel they're going to die now because they can't find it. Holy Spirit's right there with you. What do you mean? You're not saved by an idol. The cross that you had, that your grandfather gave you, that you can't find now because you've lost it in the patrol, that's not going to save you. It wouldn't save you when you had it, and it won't save you when you don't have it. It won't save you. Only the Holy Spirit within you will. Or bring you home, whatever. Or get you through the next trial and test you're going to go through. The physical will go away. But the Holy Spirit won't. They can't take that away from you. That's inside you. Oh, the test is coming. Oh, man, I tell you. That test is coming. And you all need to be prepared for it. You see. Now, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to jump into it. Being born again. And we'll cover tonight some end times events. I'm going to focus on Armageddon and head toward in direction of Gog and Magog. We'll see how far we get tonight. And I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. I'm going to play about a 5-minute presentation that I thought was just wonderful. The world would be better if everyone was a Christian, not to be confused with Christianity. That's the title. Well, I just added to the title. Christian, being a Christian is not really linked up to Christianity. Do you know that? Christianity. When you say, I believe in Christianity, really, so which religion or sect of Christianity are you talking about? The one where you inherit your own planet, Mormon, or that you believe Jesus was just a prophet, Jehovah's Witness, or which sect do you mean? Ones where you have to be baptized before you're saved again, which is not true. That one, or the one where you have to be able to speak in tongues. If you can't babble, 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 you're not saved. That one, which one? Or the one that's mixed together, or a Calvinist. Now you got 5 levels of Calvinism. I'm a 1-point Calvinist. Well, I'm a 5-point. Get out of my way. What are y'all talking? What are people out there talking about? Amillennialism. I'm an amillennialist. Really? Does it hurt? Did you have to get a degree for that, or did you just get a blood transfusion? What do you mean you're amillennialist? You're one of those things. I can't even spell it, darn it. Much less pronounce it. They put an ist on something, it means something. I don't know, man. These people have lost it. They categorize themselves. I'm a pre-tribber. I'm a post-tribber. You are. I'm a mid-tribber. All right, well, you get over there, and you get over there, and you get over there. Now, y'all tell me, when's it coming? Pre-trib. Okay, well, fine. So when's the trib coming? Can you tell me that? Well, they can't. You're post-tribber. Yes, I am. So when's the trib coming so you can be posted? He can't tell me. Point is, nobody knows. No matter what you categorize yourself, separate and divide yourself into, you don't know what's coming. God knows, nobody else does. Watch for the signs. So what's the bottom line? Has your lamp been fitted yet? Is it full of oil? Are you ready now? No matter whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib, whatever trib, whatever it is, a tribulite, who cares? Family, the fact is to be ready for it because you don't know when it's coming. Instead of arguing about when it's going to be here. Now you're talking about the second coming of the rapture. Oh, here we go. You see how they've complicated it? That's on purpose. Let's dedicate the broadcast and then let's get started here. I think it just about already did get started, but anyway. Lord, thank you tonight for the Bible study we have. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have. Lord, Father, we need help, the Holy Spirit, Lord. We know that the satanic realm, the minions, they see the mark. They see, Father, those that are going to be singled out. Lord, we need the help from the Spirit, the blood of Jesus around us. Lord, for ourselves, Father, we're going to be tempted and pulled away, jerked back and forth. Father, we need that Holy Spirit to keep us strong. Keep us up that ladder from coming back down. We pray tonight for our brethren. We pray for Antonio and his family. Father, to bring that family together. Lord, to touch the hearts of those not yet ready to let go. To bring the truth to the family of Antonio. Father, we pray for Brandy. We pray, Father, that you look down upon her and that you'll find a path. You'll find a way that, Father, her situations can be handled. She'll have the wisdom, discernment, and opportunity to make life better. To find a way and path through this foggy road. Father, we need that help supernaturally. Father, we pray for all the others we prayed for in the past of healing and bringing families together. We pray for our veterans, for Lord, that we know has been targeted on purpose, Lord, that these suicides will be dealt with. That, Father, that you find a way for divine appointments to help those that you know have been marked, to guide them the right path, away from the thoughts of suicide. Father, we pray for children. That in this time of sacrifice of children, that, Father, they'll be stopped and children be let free. But we see things coming, Lord. We need that help, that supernatural help that, Father, we're praying for. And for courage to come out of the churches and unto the people. That those leading the churches will have the courage and strength to stand up for what's right. Lord, these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Gotta be born again, y'all. In John 3, it covers this somewhat. In John 3, it talks about being born again. In scripture form. It's really not that difficult. Living it is the difficult part. I'll be the first to tell you that. John 1 to 21. Talks about it. And it goes something like this. Oh, Max can tell you, brother.
John 3.
Better than I can.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
That last one, that's why I let it go, to John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Very important. that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit when you do not believe on the Son. His unbelief is the one that cannot be forgiven. Everything else can be forgiven. But that last verse tells you what won't be forgiven. To be born again, Christian, not to be confused with belonging to Christianity, that doesn't mean anything. Go to church. Especially if they're talking using other Bibles, missing verses. They're satanic Bibles. Either the Bible is real or it's not. If it's missing verses, it's not real. Then who's it belong to? It's real simple. Well, I got saved by the NIV Bible. Okay, then if you're really saved and you're really born again, that means you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Are you not? If you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, lives inside you, and the Bible you're reading is not the Holy Word of God because it's missing verses, missing words, changed around this, that, and the other, is that not going to convict you? So if you're not convicted by reading these correct heretical Bibles, it's proven to be frauds. Well, maybe you wouldn't save in the first place. If you're not convicted of sins that you perform, if it's not making you feel bad, which is a good thing, because that's God chastising you, because he loves you. He don't want you to get lost. That's how it works. We're taught different today, aren't we? John 3:3-7, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. John 3:3-7. In this part of the scriptures, at first sight, when you read that, actually, I want to go one above. When we read John 3:2, it was very important because that establishes Jesus Christ's position. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The Bible doesn't say why Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, to be more specific. But the obvious explanation is that he would have been embarrassed to be seen going to Jesus because the Lord had no means of being accepted by the majority of the Jewish people at that time. So Nicodemus was careful not to go in the daytime to be seen. However, he did come to Jesus, nevertheless. So Nicodemus here acknowledged Jesus to be a teacher sent by God. Well, since no one could perform such miracles without direct help of God. Now, in spite of all his learning, old Nicodemus here, he didn't recognize the Lord as God manifest in the flesh, which is what Jesus was. He's like so many today who say that Jesus was a great man, a wonderful teacher, an outstanding example. But all these statements fall very short of the full truth because Jesus was and is God incarnated human flesh. That in itself is about a 30-minute teaching that I've done, that Jesus is God. Was God then, is God now, in the glorified body. It's a mystery that human minds cannot conceive because of our dimensional capacity will not reach that level. It's not possible right now. So, going to John 3:3, when you look at it, Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So now when you look at it first sight, the answer here that the Lord Jesus does not seem to be connected with what Nicodemus has said. Doesn't appear to be. He said, Nicodemus, you've come to me for teaching. But what you really need is to be born again. That's what's being said primarily. That's where we start. You have to be born from above. Otherwise, you can never see the kingdom of God. So, he introduced these words, most assuredly. The words kind of bring us up to the fact that alerts us that the most important truth is being given right now. Verily, verily, listen to me is what it's saying. So as a Jew, which is what Jesus was also, Nicodemus had been looking for a Messiah to come and free Israel from the bondages of Rome, probably coming on a white horse with a sword and leading them to battle. That's not how he came. That's how he's coming, but not how he came then. And also, the Roman Empire was in control of the world, as in the New Age movement and the movement of the Antichrist, the revival of the Roman Empire once again. The wound is healed when that happens, which leads us to Armageddon. It leads us to the first seal, actually. Anyway, the Jews were subject to the laws of the government. Nicodemus looked for the time when Messiah would set up his kingdom on earth. The Jewish people would be chief among the nations. They didn't understand that certain events had to transpire first. That even today, they're saying like, what the name of Carl Gallup, P.P. Simmons, are just absolutely, as a lot of people, but they're more so, that we're already in the sixth trumpet, heading toward the post-tribulation. It's all been completed already. I guess we all slept through it. Oh, yeah, a lot of folks, especially Calvinists and Preterists. Reference to Wormwood. It's in the Bible. Chernobyl. Because it's linked to Wormwood. Has anybody ever thought that they named it Chernobyl after Wormwood on purpose for a long-term facade? Oh, yeah. But see, Nicodemus was looking for the time the Jewish people would be chief among the nations, but didn't know that certain events had to take place first. And all the enemies of the Jews would be destroyed. That's yet to come, family. So the Lord informed Nicodemus, in order to enter the kingdom, he must be born again. Now, the first birth is necessary for physical life. You come out of the water. With a vengeance, I hear. And so a second birth is necessary for the divine life. So when you use the expression born again, it may also mean born from above. So in other words, we'll say that Christ's kingdom can only be entered by those whose lives have been changed. That's important to know. That's indications of being born again, is your life has changed. Not speaking in tongues. That doesn't indicate being born again. That's another story. But since the rain shall be a righteous one after Armageddon, subjects must be righteous also. He couldn't reign over people who were going on in their sins. Therefore, those that say that Jesus is reigning now, I don't know what book they're using, but it's sure not the Bible. And there's loads of Calvinists and loads of those under Calvinism that say Jesus is reigning today. Really? These are educated theologians as well. I don't see where they get it, but they do somehow or another. When you go to 3:5, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Ooh, that's a touchy subject. You see, when you go further in explanation of this, Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, if you're not, you can never enter the kingdom of God. Now, what's Jesus talking about here? Now, there's many folks, that theologians as well, they insist that literal water is intended here. And that Jesus Christ spoke of the necessity of baptism for salvation. However, such a teaching is a contrary to the rest of the Bible. When you go throughout the Word of God, you read that salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Baptism is intended for those who've already been saved, but not as a means of salvation. It is an act of obedience. It doesn't mean you don't get baptized. But the first step is to be born again. But you need more, just like you pray a demon's out. But as Matthew 17:21 says, howbeit this kind, a different demon, a more stronger, what they call a strong man, you must do prayer and fasting for a second heaven level demon, a higher level demon. They have ranking structure. Remember, Jesus talked to that one subject or one person, we'll call him, said, we are a legion, we are many. Well, there's more than one. This is normal. You have a smaller group, not as powerful, and then you always have a strong man that don't want to come out. So, you got that strong man. And the disciples couldn't take that one demon out, pray him out, could not work. And so when Jesus did it, they took him off the side. He said, Jesus, how'd you do that? He said, howbeit, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. You see, Matthew 17:21, that is why they removed that from the Bible. So you would not read it. Matthew 17:21. They removed it from NIV, ESV, and another one. And the others, they footnote it. They don't want you to know. In Ephesians, but back to the water. Some people suggest this water refers to the Word of God. If you go to Ephesians 5:25-26, water is closely associated with the Word of God. Now, if you go to 1 Peter 1:23 and James 1:18, the new birth is said to take place through the Word of God. So, it's quite possible, therefore, that the water in the verse that we're talking about does refer to the Bible. We also know there can be no salvation apart from the Scriptures. And it's the message contained in the Word of God that must be appropriate for the sinner. That's before they can ever have the birth. So the water could be also the Word of God. But water can also be referring to the Holy Spirit. So now if you go to John 7:38-39, the Lord Jesus spoke of rivers of living water. In John 7:38-39. And you're told distinctly that when he uses the word water, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. So now, there's a little bit of an issue here, because if water means the Spirit in chapter 7, then why could not have the same meaning in chapter 3? But look into it deeper, because there seems to be somewhat of a difficulty. If this interpretation is accepted, Jesus would say, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So if water is taken to mean the Spirit, also, it would appear that the Spirit is mentioned twice in that verse. There's a little bit of difficulty. But the word translated "and" could just as correctly have been translated "even." Even the Spirit. Even the water. So the verse would read, unless one is born of water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, I believe that this is the correct meaning of the verse, that physical birth is not enough. There must be a spiritual birth if one is to enter the kingdom of God. There's got to be. And that spiritual birth is produced by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the interpretation is supported by the fact that the expression "born of the Spirit" is once again found in verse 6 and verse 8. Keep reading. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You're saying it twice there. Number 8. The wind blows where it's listed, and there hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell which it cometh or whether it goeth. So every one that is born of the Spirit to be born again. Seems like today it's going to be what we're going to talk about. Sometimes 1 hour is just not enough. I begin to think. This one is a very important one, though. Because if you don't get through this one about being born again, you don't make it to Armageddon. To be born again Christian, the classic passage is, I've read you, John 3:1-21. New birth, being born again, is an act of God where eternal life is imparted to the person who believes. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this seems to be the biggest question. How do I know I'm born again? So many people are fooled. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You change. It's not speaking in tongues. You change. Titus 3:5. In Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness. Whoop, there goes the baptism. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Aha! And renewing of the Holy Ghost. Cleansing, washing, regeneration. There's that water thing again. In reference, Titus 3:5. In Titus 3:5, that means he saves us from guilt, penalty of all our sins, past, present, and future. They're all future when the Savior died, and his death covered them all. But one of the easiest ways, the clearest truth of the gospel, is probably the most difficult for man to receive. That's that salvation is not based on good works. Freemasons, listen carefully. Doing things for the hospitals don't get you there. It's what you do after you become born again. But first you got to become born again. Freemasons, before you even become born again, you got to renounce the blood oath and get rid of that ring and all the other paraphernalia you got from the Masons. When I go into a tattoo shop, I don't. If I go into a Freemason's lodge, if I go into a fortune teller's place, I have given permission for those demons to act and come upon me. I'm not going to tell you the truth about, listen to how, you know how I am, don't you? I'm not going to tell you the truth that, that baseball was created by the Masons in the 1860s, Doubleday. I'm not going to tell you that the logo of the Freemasons is a Masonic logo. I'm not going to tell you that the G in the logo for Masons is a pitching mound. Oh, I guess I've already told you, haven't I? Should I tell you then that Freemasons, at the highest level, their final secret to those that come up, they tell them that they worship Lucifer, and Lucifer is the God, the good God. And they find out later, they're already brainwashed, that Lucifer is the God they serve. He's a good guy. That Jesus and Satan are the same. That's one of their big secrets. So, if I attend a baseball game and cheer and go for it and all this, see, it was created by the Masons, for Masons, a game that's based around their logo. The compass and the square is the diamond of the baseball field. The G is a pitcher mound. Oh, you got it? Now dig the implications on that one. Three players. Nine players, three outs, multiples of three. Nine stones on Lucifer. Nine players. Oops. I'm telling you exactly what it is. I'm not speculating on this, by the way. So its salvation is not based on good works. One doesn't have to be a Christian by living a Christian life. It's not good that people who go to heaven. See, the consistent testimony of the Bible is that man cannot earn or merit salvation. Man cannot save himself by good works. All the righteousness are like polluted rags in God's sight. Isaiah 64, verse 6. So, a person cannot become a Christian by living a Christian life. For the simple reason, he has no power in himself to live this Christian life. How many people say, I can do it myself? That's what the New Age says. Karma, whatever you want to call it, doesn't exist. It's not good people who go to heaven. It is sinners who've been saved by God's grace. Let me play this, and I think this will probably, well, tomorrow we'll probably talk about. I found this, somebody sent this to me. This is pretty good. It's a guy in a setting outside in a fairground, and he's got people around him. He's got to be brave, I got to tell you. Let's see how this works out. It goes something like this.
I'm just a beggar. All right, and God found me and rescued me. And I'm just trying to help other beggars be found. That's all. The Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray, and the shepherd of our souls came to find us. But we must hear his voice. And if you will hear his voice and obey, he will take you into the fold. But if you don't, you're going to find yourself outside of the fold. So I'm sorry. I truly am that you think I'm an arrogant jerk or judgmental. It's okay. I know you think so. Careful, I might stick my foot out and tilt you over there. All right? I'm sorry for that. What I'm trying to make clear to you is that I'm worse than you, and I know God saved me, and I know he'll save you. I know he will. He promises. If you will come to him, call on his name, he will by no means cast you out. Try to remove me from it, because the assumption is what I'm representing to you is what the Bible says. So look past my obnoxious self. Your quibble is with God. That's who your argument is with. So take it up with him. Argue with him. But I don't know why you'd want to when he says, I'll save you. And imagine this. I was worse than you, lady. I was so much worse than you. I was such a bad sinner. Such a foul sinner. Oh, I didn't even, you know, when I look back, I didn't even like me then. Oh, ugh. And God said, I'll save you. I'll save you.
I never said I wasn't a sinner.
Okay, but being a sinner makes you bad. Okay, but being a sinner makes you bad, right?
Why are you preaching to me? I know my faith.
But you guys don't believe Jesus is the only way.
I know I'm a sinner, and yeah. I know Jesus died for me.
For the whole world.
Yes, but he died for me.
Yep.
Yes, so why are you preaching to me?
Because you reject the exclusivity of Jesus. That's why. Okay, I won't preach to you. If you are here, standing to my left, and you've denied the exclusivity of Jesus, you're not a Christian. Here's another one for you. The Mormons aren't Christians either. Why? Because they believe that Jesus is a created being. I know this is theology, but God is high on theology. He likes strictness. They believe that Jesus is a created being. They also believe the Father is a created being. And you can be God too if you will just let him do that to you, and hopefully you can go to your own planet and make your own spirit babies to go back to another planet where you can rule as God. That's what Mormonism teaches, and they can call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They might as well call themselves the Church of Stan because they don't worship the true Jesus. We've got to know exactly who he is, exactly what he's done, and respond exactly the way he commands. The Bible says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God's will is good. In this country, since we've kicked God out of the schoolroom and out of everything else since 1962 or 63, take your choice with your Supreme Court ruling, STDs up. Kids now have to get, this little girl should get a Gardasil shot because she's probably going to get a sexually transmitted disease, even from a guy who hasn't slept around for 15 years. What have we done? His will is perfect. That doesn't exist when we obey his rules. Teenagers killing themselves, the suicide rate is up. His will is good, acceptable, and pleasing. Girls getting pregnant out of wedlock. Families, a complete disaster because they're not following his plan. And people don't like following his plan because they don't like him. And if they would submit and follow his plan, it's a better life. Kids live. They don't get diseases. They don't die. Families aren't in shambles. Little kids don't have to be crushed because daddy's never coming home again. His plan is better. And that's right. You can't go and have sex with anybody you want to. Yep, that's right. But his will is acceptable and pleasing and perfect. So you don't get to do that. And you get to live. How's about the homosexual community who is dying at an increasingly rapid rate? And the Bible commands them, stop. Don't die, and they won't die. What is wrong with that will? It is good and pleasing, and it is better for us. But what proves that we're rebels at heart is that we don't obey the rules. And the only way we can obey the rules is if we get a heart change. And the only way to get a heart change is to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. He will forgive you. And the Bible says he will come and dwell in you. He'll make you a new creature, and you'll be different. And the sins you used to love, you're going to hate them. And the things that you used to hate, like those other Christians who just read their Bibles and love on Jesus, suddenly it's going to be amazing. I want to be with those people. He will change you from the inside out, and you will experience his good, acceptable, and pleasing will. And your marriages will last, and your kids will live, and God will be glorified. So my offer, as we leave here tonight, please, I'm sorry I'm a jerk. I am calling out to other sinners just like me. Please call on the name of Jesus Christ. No pride. If you have an ounce of it, he will not accept you. Lose the pride. He'll forgive you, make you his child, and grant you everlasting life. And that's the best offer that this state fair has to offer. So please consider it tonight. And that's all I got for you. All right? Thanks for putting up with me. All right?
You see, it's getting around. People are starting to pick up on it. Oh, it convicts us all. Convicts me. But I'm in a position I have to teach. I have to learn. And then share what I've learned. And accept what I learned from someone else. Share what I've learned from them. People saying now you got to pull your money out, that something's coming. Oh, something's coming, all right. Take your money out of the bank. Sound familiar? He wrote, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. See, sinners are spiritually dead. When they receive spiritual life through faith in Christ, the Bible kind of likens it to a rebirth of sort. Only those who are born again have the sins forgiven and have a relationship with God. And the sign of it is they've changed. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast." When one's saved, they've been born again, spiritually renewed, and now a child of God by right of the new birth. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it refers a prayer, simply a way to express to God your faith in him and to thank him for providing for your salvation. "God, I know that I've sinned against you and am deserving of punishment. But Jesus Christ took the punishment that I deserve so that through him, faith in him, I could be forgiven. I place my trust in you for salvation. Thank you for your wonderful grace and forgiveness, your gift of eternal life. Amen." It's between you and Jesus. To God through Jesus. Nobody in between. Establish your relationship with him yourself. If sometimes you're finding things are difficult, you do have deliverance to go through. That's to get those demons out because of a Freemasonry background or witchcraft background or mess with the tarot cards or Ouija boards or all this. That does add another step to it. To be cleansed of these entities. Nothing more than Satan wants to turn a born-again Christian around or to stop one from becoming born again. Sometimes they'll use friends and family and work and all kinds of different ways to keep you distracted. Pain, all kinds of ways. Somehow there's a mark on you. There's a mark supernaturally that Satan sees, aha, that one I don't have. You know, I know that the Illuminati, for example, let's say, hypothetically, it's not hypothetical. They're going to enter a new hospital and control it, or a school, business, and they'll find the owner, the CEO, the hospital president, whatever, is not on their side. So they'll form a committee, secretly, of course, but they'll form a committee and discuss how they're going to take him down or to cause him to change over. They'll assign people certain tasks. They may even set them up with a female. Or set them up with getting something illegal. Or put pornography in his computer. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Something. What's his weakness? They study this individual to find out his weakness, to get him to succumb to their desires. To enter the hospital, the school, the political office to control it. Well, on a supernatural level, it's the same thing. Literally, to find a weakness to get through to you. Every soul counts for Satan. And those that work for him in Wicca, for example, to get you to turn over, they get rewarded, or so they think. They'll even pretend to be Christian. All the right cue words, you got to be careful. We're going to close now. Tomorrow we'll talk about Armageddon and Gog and Magog, the end time events tomorrow, and how they fit. Lord, we thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, we pray for those we prayed for earlier today, Antonio and Brandy. Lord, that you'll help them both. Father, guide us, keep us straight and narrow. Convict us when we fall away. Father, we pray for protection. We pray for the blood of Jesus to be around us, to grant us more Bible studies, and to lead us, Father, to learn the truth and be able to share it. And all these things we pray, our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Well, family, we have ended tonight. This is day one of four more to go. And tomorrow, Armageddon. Also remind you that we're played up at highpointradio.net. One word, highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. Up in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. He plays our broadcast and Bible studies. Well, thank you all for attending. And we'll see you all tomorrow at 4 o'clock to 6 by the broadcast. And then tomorrow night, 8 to 9, in Times Events. Y'all have a good night, and God bless. And we'll see you all tomorrow. This is Watchman, signing out.
From the grave he rose.